I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I was running out the door, dropped off kids, ran to the coffee store, and I ate. I did have some protein balls, but I also ate like buff. I know.
That's why you love balls.
I love balls. Peanut butter, a little honey. But I also ate a bag of like Buffalo Wild Wing like chips.
What?
Alongside it. It happened. They're really good. They were right there. And that's what I had for breakfast. Not only that, the protein, the chips, but I inhaled them in probably 2 minutes.
Ooh, that is so not on brand for you. But it is so like such a common experience where we end up just on the go as women, kind of eating scraps along the way or getting to the point where we are like so hungry, we're starving. And we're like, I'll just eat whatever shit is available.
Good morning, my friend. Andrea, hello. How are you?
I'm good, Jess. How are you?
I was like, my friend, Andrea.
I know. Well, you knew that I really wanted you to say my name.
I know. That's exactly what just happened.
Are you ready? Say my name. Say my name. I did it this time.
Roles, but you can like actually sing.
Well, I didn't really do it there. It's okay. I can't.
Good, because it will highlight how bad I am.
No,
if you
really,
actually
it's just
sing.
It's just like I do. Jessica's referring to the fact that I do sing in a band, and I sing at my church, and I sing lots of places. I'm actually going to start singing in a duo soon. It might be a trio. So there's just, I sing a lot.
This is all new information for me too.
I know. Well, more places that you can come see me sing, which would be fun.
Which is funny because it's also another thing you're adding to your plate.
Well, I'm not a reasonable person. I never said that I was. I never said I was a reasonable person. No.
You want to know what's funny?
Hmm.
I think I just added something to my plate this week too.
What?
Okay. I got asked so in Illinois, we now have a girls flag football is a thing. Did you know that? Did you know that, Andrea?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's a thing, like girls flag football. So my daughter is a gymnast. Mm-hmm. So during the summer, she can do a couple other sports, but gymnastics takes up her life. However, she asked me if she could do flag football this year with her friends. And I'm like, girl, you do it. I am a diehard football fan. I grew up watching football. I am like, it is my thing. So I get an email from the commissioner who I don't know, but the other commissioner happens to be a friend and an avid listener. Thanks, mm-hmm. friend, for giving my name. And saying, we need another head coach. So like, well, I know one of the people, one of my friends, who's in, what's going on? She's like, you didn't. I'm just announcing it to the world. She's like, don't tell anybody I sent you this. But yeah, so sorry, friend. I just announced it to the world. But I'm like, okay, it's all men coaching these girls, which is a little intimidating for me because I've never coached football, for starters, even though I know it. And so I've been sitting on, do I head coach? So then I know. You'll be proud, maybe. I asked about the time commitment and what it looked like. It is a lot more than I'm able to commit to, but I did agree to be an assistant coach.
Oh, no.
But I also really like football. But then I was like, oh, my God, okay. If I'm a head coach and my team is horrible, I don't know that I will deal with that well. Mm-hmm. I don't like to lose. I do not do things that I'm not good at. Anybody who knows me knows that. They're like, mm-hmm. you're good at everything. I'm like, no, I'm not. I only just do things I'm good at. But I am going to be an assistant coach. I haven't even told my daughter yet. Jessica, Honest Women podcast, co-host, therapist, assistant, flag football coach.
I'm just laughing at this. I couldn't even keep my face straight while you were telling your story because the idea that my daughter would play flag football is so insane. We have tried multiple sports with her. We've done soccer. We've done, I don't know, other sports. with balls. This will be important with what I'm about to say. She well, just
there's usually balls in this sport, but now they're actually adding. I can't go there.
I'm right. So we've tried to get her involved in something sporty, and it just hasn't clicked. And some of this is because she's been injured doing sports. And one of her first injuries was just observing my husband and my brother-in-law. They were trying to do a dude perfect basketball shot, like a long distance basketball shot. And she's out there watching this, and the basketball hits the backboard, of course, because they're not basketball players. And it hits her like right in the face. So she goes inside sobbing. And then from the bathroom, we can hear her yell, "And that's why I hate balls."
Oh my God, I can't wait for you to tell her that when she's older.
Oh, she knows. And it is never not funny to yell that in our house. But we have failed out of all of the sports that have balls. Soccer is that a no. She got kicked by
a
ball.
I don't know if I mean, she's never really played. She'll throw around with the guys. She's very much like me. Like I would have totally been able to hang in that sport. Like I would have loved to have played flag football, but I love football. I like flags. That's great. Don't ask me to tackle anybody. That just seems stupid. But yeah, we're letting her do it. And because she hasn't done a team sport, so this could actually go one of two ways. We'll find out. But really, I just want her to go out there and have fun. Mm-hmm. And it'll be kind of fun to watch these girls just running around. And I don't know. I think it'd be fun to get like a him and her type of game too with flag, right? It's going to have to be flag. But yeah, so assistant coach, flag football.
Congratulations. I'm sorry.
It could be an epic failure. And TBD this fall, folks. So stay tuned. If you have not subscribed to the show, you need to. If anything, just so you know, if I either am hugely successful with coaching or an epic failure, and I will be honest and tell y'all. So stay tuned, folks. All right. So that had nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
No.
Not at all. But it's a good conversation. So today, we are talking about all things, dare I say, I don't even like saying healthy eating.
I think it's food.
Food.
Nutrition.
Right? Nutrition. But here's why, folks, is Andrea and I would be not doing our jobs or not be very good therapists if we did not bring in the body. Mm-hmm. When we're also talking about the mind, what we're putting inside of our bodies is very much directly linked with our mental health. So it's an important topic. It's also a topic that is really hard to talk about because it is very complex. Mm-hmm. So do you want to know what is not an example of healthy eating?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
My breakfast this morning. Because I was running out the door, dropped off kids, ran to the coffee store, and I did have some protein balls, but I also ate like buff. I know.
That's why you love balls.
I love balls. Peanut butter, a little honey. Stop with the balls.
I can't help it.
But also ate a bag of like Buffalo Wild Wing like chips.
What?
Alongside it. It happened. They're really good. They were right there. And that's what I had for breakfast. Not only that, the protein, the chips, but I inhaled them in probably 2 minutes.
Oh, that is so not on brand for you. But it is so like such a common experience where we end up just on the go as women, kind of eating scraps along the way or getting to the point where we are like so hungry, we're starving, and we're like, I'll just eat whatever shit is available. I have had my own nutritional situation, I will say, because we have been going to Wisconsin like the last couple of weeks. Now, for those of you who are not in the Midwest, you do not understand Wisconsin, I will tell you. I've never had a bad day in Wisconsin. It's beautiful up there. There is a lot of cheese. Yes, it's beautiful. It's peaceful. There's lots of like lake stuff to do. And Yes, there is a big eating culture. It is cheese curds and beer and sausage, which is not really part of my thing, but it's cheese curds and beer for us. So
fried pickles.
Fried pickles.
I know, girl.
Every time I go up, I'm like, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do that again. Every time I go up, we cross the border. We're like, we should stop to go to the bathroom. It's probably been like an hour since we left. And then you get in the gas station and you're like, gas station snacks. I need something sour, something sweet, and something salty. It is foul. I'm eating these things, Sour Patch Kids and Reese's and whatever, and I can feel my body like disintegrating from the inside. But I do not stop because it's part of the trip. And then we get to wherever we're going, and as soon as we sit down in a restaurant, we're like, ooh, what kind of beer do you have? And what kind of cheese curds? And it doesn't matter what kind because we're going to eat it.
Because you're going to eat them either way.
100%. And it's part of the joy of the trip for me, but my body cannot handle it. Everything hurts, and it hurts for like days, and then days go by and we're going back to Wisconsin. It's
well,
a situation.
And here's the thing. You're highlighting such an important part of why this whole concept of healthy eating is very complicated. Mm-hmm. Is one, convenience products that mm-hmm. are often not healthy for us, and you're talking about how it impacts your body. Mm-hmm. Right. And so one of the things, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, but I went through lots of stuff. I don't need to retell the story, but with some autoimmune stuff that I had going. And during that journey, I learned a lot about how the things I put inside my body negatively impact me. Mm-hmm. Now I know if I'm going to eat a ton of sugar, it flares up all of my aches and pains in my body. Mm-hmm. And why I don't like it when people say I hate getting old is because it's not necessarily an old body. It's one I'm putting into my body. However, it gets complicated. Mm-hmm. What are some of the reasons that you personally think that this whole concept of healthy eating is difficult?
Well, for me, first and foremost, so much of what I heard as healthy was really just diet advice.
Yeah.
From the minute that we were really little, we survived the 90s scary skinny, you know, kind of thing. And so it would be low fat, you know, or, you know, now low carb, high protein. But all of this advice was just veiled ways to get skinnier. And so I think that so much of my sense of like what's good for my body was really overshadowed by what would make my body look a certain way, not what fuels my body well, what makes me feel good. I mean, I survived off of SlimFast, which is just like liquid chemicals for like 6 years. And that was my foundational, formational time of eating. It was doing that and then doing the things that normal teenagers would do, like go and eat chips and queso. And that was the weird world that I lived in for a really long time. And so I feel like the biggest thing for me is that it's only now in my, you know, late 30s, early 40s that I'm starting to ask the question of like, what does my body need to feel good and function well versus what new diet can I get on? And I feel like a lot of this like health advice is just thinly veiled diet culture.
Absolutely. You said it best to me a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this topic and having the conversation on the podcast. As you said, we have defined healthy eating as women as what will make you skinny. Mm-hmm. And you said that and it was like, whoa, light bulb moment for me as a woman, because it is so true. And I think that's why I hate saying the words healthy eating is mm-hmm. because I automatically go to what will make you thin, what mm-hmm. will make you look a certain way.
Right.
It's like a behavioral conditioning inside my brain versus how can we change the way we're saying things, that it's what do we fuel our body with to just feel good? Mm-hmm. To have energy, to not be in pain, to mm-hmm. not stand up and be like, ooh, my knees hurt.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a couple weeks ago, I had family in town and it was just, we were on the go the whole time. We had everything going. And I just ate all the things that I know my body doesn't respond well to. Mm-hmm. I want to say it that way because it, again, is not about healthy or unhealthy necessarily. It's just I knew how it was going to impact my body. Andrea, I kid you not, it was at least a week, if not a week and a half, until my body just felt like mine.
Yeah.
I was lethargic. I was fatigued. I struggled to work out because it hurt.
Yeah.
Like the aches and the pains, right? And I'm like, how are we not talking about this on a broader basis, not in mm-hmm. realm of body image, but in the realm of what makes you feel good, mm-hmm. energy, not hurting.
Right. Right. And a lot of times, like you said, in mental health, we ignore the physical body. And I think that even as therapists, we can get a little bit gun shy about talking about this because we know that it's a loaded topic for so many people. And so we don't even ask these questions. What are you eating? How often are you eating? How does that make you feel? But we would be doing a disservice if we didn't at least touch the topic. And so here we are.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to give you some practical strategies that we ourselves have done, have tried, or have miserably failed at on how to implement just better eating habits or to just get in tune with what makes you feel good. All right, our dear listeners, we would be such hypocrites and we would be lying to you if we didn't call out that what we're putting in our body is directly impacting our mental health. One thing that I myself have learned is the importance of reframing how we look at things. Mm-hmm. Not to throw out the word reframe, because you guys know what I think about clinical terms. However, reframing. One of the things that I myself love to do is think about what I can have versus what I can't. Mm-hmm. And you spoke of this, Andrea, when we talked about the 90s, and it reminded me, actually, funny story, I like vividly remember where I was sitting in like the courtyard of my high school, and I very much was, I want to lose weight. It wasn't about healthy, but it was, everything was fat-free at that time. That was when Olean was out, and we didn't know how horrible it was for us, right? I remember at lunch trying to just eat this small bag of fat-free pretzels. Mm-hmm. And that's all I was going to have that day mm-hmm. so that I could try to get skinnier. And it made me think about how much we look at depriving ourselves mm-hmm. versus that's not what it's about. It's not about deprivation. It's about what can we have to fuel our bodies.
Yeah, and I think this is a good way to cut through some of the noise that we have in the healthy eating space. I confess that I am following some fitness influencers. Thankfully, they are for women over 40, and it's all about building muscle, but that also means that a lot of times it's these rules, right? Like, you need this many grams of protein, or you need to have this mineral that you don't get, or you need to have this and this and this. And if I start to feel so overwhelmed by all of the things I need, like, I'll be like, oh my God, I didn't even know about selenium. I need to eat 2 Brazil nuts a day. Like, it becomes kind of bizarre and overwhelming, but I think that the way to cut through that noise is by starting to just add things that are healthy and that make you feel good, right? Like, I know, we all know that when I eat vegetables, that's doing something important. Do I know exactly what? No. Sometimes my kids will ask me, I have to Google it at the table. Like, yes, celery is a part of, you know, it has this vitamin or this mineral. It doesn't matter, right? I know that adding vegetables, that adding fruit, that for me, I like animal protein, that adding meat, some people don't, that's okay. But those things make me feel good. And it's so much better than being like having this long list of things either I can't eat or a long list of things that I must eat, because that just becomes so fucking complicated and we need to make this a lot simpler.
Well, I think you have to redefine your why. Mm-hmm. Why do I want to put different foods in my body? Why do I want to be mindful of this? And if the why is, like mine back in the 90s, of I want to get skinnier, it's It is not the right why.
Yeah, it'll lead you down the wrong path.
It will
make you eat things that don't help your body to function well.
Yeah, and it's not about how it makes you look. It's how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. How it makes you feel. And getting too rigid with it, which I learned, really, really caused me a lot of distress. When I was going through, kind of working through to heal my body from all of the autoimmune stuff, I got told, here's what you need to do for a short amount of time. It was very, very rigid. And I remember being in the kitchen at one point, like prepping everything and doing everything I needed to do, and my husband coming in and saying, do you ever think like the high amount of stress this is causing you is counterproductive to like what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I probably didn't say yes very nicely.
You're like, shut it. No, you're totally wrong.
Like, go away.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he was accurate. Mm-hmm. And I think I later had a conversation with him and he's like, if you are going to be that rigid about it, I don't know. I'm watching how stressed out and how upset you're getting about everything. And it just doesn't seem healthy for mm-hmm. your mental health. Mm-hmm. And that's where I go back to the 80-20 rule, right? And I started doing it then when I was trying to heal my body. Mm-hmm. I have like some mixed connective tissue autoimmune stuff that was kind of like a pre-lupus that I wanted to stop before going. So it was really about inflammation within my body and not having a substantial amount of joint pain. And mm-hmm. I was in a lot of pain and I was feeling very sick. So that's where I was doing anything and everything to just heal my body. But the cortisol levels with being too rigid mm-hmm. did not help things. So I'm a solid 80-20 in my house and with my family, where 80% of what I try to fuel my body with, I know is going to help me do the things I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go do things with my kids, run around with my kids, go work out and not be in a lot of pain, not be fatigued. And the other 20%, oh man, it is anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
80-20, because I also don't want to get to a place where I'm eating something like I love gummy bears, you guys. Like, love gummies. Sugar is kryptonite, and we can tell you why. Sugar is so bad for your body, but it's also really good 20% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, gummy bears for real, though. Like, I would not shoot my shot on gummy bears.
Dude,
if I was going to have something, you know, that was not ideal, like, I would never, ever choose gummy bears.
Oh, I know. This is what, do you know that I put gummy bears on my non-dairy ice cream because the other makes me sick? I'm telling you, I got lots of fun facts about me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I wouldn't shoot my shot on that. I like the 80-20 rule, though. This idea that, you know, we're not aiming for some sort of perfection because, again, as a frequent dieter, I've done things that are so restrictive, like a Whole30, which, again, it's a lovely way to live if I had a personal chef and if I had unlimited time in the world and if I had, again, all of the money that I could put into that to just eat a very intensive, like it takes intensive prep for me to do that. But doing something like that, it is literally the idea is that you will not deviate from these rules for 30 days. And there's a real sense. I remember getting to like day, you know, 18 and, you know, eating something off the plan or wanting to, and then being like, well, the whole thing's scrapped. And I think that a lot of us struggle with black and white thinking, with a sense of being good or bad, or, you know, succeeding or failing. And that is something I'm trying to move away from in my 40s, because that's just no way to live, that you have a list of things that make you as a human good or bad, that you have if you want to have chocolate, or if you're like Jessica and being weird and want to have gummy bears, that you're suddenly bad. No, it's just
or
it's
like
just
those nerd gummy clusters. How weird is
ew.
That? Oh, I love them. A little crunch, a little like gummy. I know, I'm not a chocolate girl. That's part of the problem.
That is like gas station food next level. Nerd gummy clusters.
Girl, do not let me in the gas station. I have to be like, blinders on, blinders on, blinders on, because I am like, you guys don't even want to see a solid sugar bender that I can go on.
I kind of do.
You should see it. I mean, I'm like a 6-year-old sometimes where I'm like, just, it will, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sick to my stomach. And I just keep going. It is a problem. It's actually, Anna, my daughter, will sometimes say to me, she'll be like, did you do it again, Mom? And says, I ate too many gummy bears. She's like, you always do that. I'm like, I know.
I know. They call us out so hard. I also think, and I'm just going to go there. You said sugar bender. I think we should mention bender. Alcohol is a mixed bag,
guys. Oh, I was like, what kind of bender are we on?
Alcohol. Oh, I mean, and other substances. Alcohol is a mixed bag. We have a very, very heavy drinking culture. And we did a whole episode on this at the beginning of the year, which I loved, on women and alcohol. We do. But definitely, we'll put that in the show notes. You can go back and listen to it. But alcohol is a mixed bag. And I think, again, it's almost like a golden calf that in our society, we don't even touch it. You know, you can't even talk about alcohol. And we need to, because it's not helping your body. Do I still drink? 100% I do. A lot less than I used to. And partly that's because I think as I age, I'm experiencing more negative side effects from alcohol. So it's what you eat. And it's also what you drink. It's anything that you put into your body.
Right? Anything you're putting into your body. And that's where that 80-20 really helps, is because I know the gummy clusters at the gas station are going to make me feel like shit. I know this, folks. However, does it stop me from eating it? No, it actually helps me enjoy it. Because I know it's not something I do every single day. It's my 20%. And when it's my 20%, it's like, oh. It's so good. Or that big, huge pile of nachos, which I know is just going to make my stomach not the best. Oh, girl, do I enjoy every single bite of them, though.
Are you going to be having those when you go to the Cubs game later today?
You know
what?
What's
your ballpark food?
What is my ballpark? I always thought you were going to say ballpark drink. You know what? Okay, there is, and I don't know if it's everywhere, but if there's one thing that Chicago baseball fields, because we have two, do right, is a freaking hot dog, man.
Hot dog!
Oh, we have the best hot dogs here, so you guys, if you have not come to our ballpark. So that's my go-to. And you want to know, because I'm going to a Cubs game, even though I am married to a diehard Sox fan.
Oh, wow.
We're a White Sox family, but we also live on the Northwest. And then, you know, we live in the burbs where it's all Cubbies. I'm from Colorado. I don't care. But we do good hot dogs. I will also say go to Wrigley, because Wrigley has, of course, like non-dairy ice cream. How bougie is that?
It's very bougie.
How bougie. And it's funny because I eat like the non-dairy ice cream when I go to Wrigley. And my husband will gently remind me of how many times I went to the Taco Bell that was across the street when we lived right over there. And I'm like, touche. That was a while ago. I wish I was still going there. But yeah, it happens.
One last thing I want us all to keep in mind is that so often what we are doing is taking care of everyone around us and not ourselves. This is absolutely the case when we had tiny little children, and I would make them a sandwich or something. I'd make them something that felt appropriate for them, and then I would cut the crust off the sandwich and just eat the crust. And friends, we deserve so much better than that. So whatever it is that makes your body feel good, even as you're caring for everybody else, you gotta care for yourself too. So those are our main highlights on eating. See, that wasn't so bad, right?
I don't think it was bad. I think we did a really good job of talking about the importance of healthy eating and defining it by how it makes us feel.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear from you, our listeners, about what this brought up for you, right? Like, were we able to touch it without it turning into a thing? Did it still make you feel kind of squirrely? Or are you like, yeah, that sounds nice, but I'm going to dig into my gummy nerds like Jess. But the show is not over. So we are coming back in just a minute with our new favorite segment, Love It or Hate It.
Welcome back. And this week, we are doing what we did last week, which is becoming one of my new favorite parts of the show.
It's a thing. Is this a segment? Do we have a segment?
I think
are we
have
a real show now?
I think we're a real show because we also have like real people that like help us now.
Do you want to mention that?
Can we mention
that? That's something
our,
that
like,
I love.
Theme.
It's not my love.
I
it.
Am, you know what? I'm going.
It.
Because you just teed me up real nicely. Because I will tell you what I am loving this week. Mm-hmm. So you all don't know this because you cannot see everything. But we're like official, you guys. We have like this kick-ass team behind us. Mm-hmm. And we have our new producer, Casey, and our new editor on with us now. And I will tell you that I am loving it.
Obsessed.
You know what?
It's the
I am
best.
Actually 100% loving something.
Yes.
I can't,
never
there's
have
no
I
other
ever.
Side. Never yeah. have I ever thought I would ever definitively say with 100% confidence, huh, this is a new day for me, you guys.
It is. It is. Look at you, just pure joy and gratitude over there.
I am really like in this like land of butterflies and fairies right now.
Yes. La, la, la. So we are entering a new stage with the podcast where we don't do everything on our own, which is what we've done since the beginning of Honest Women. We have prepped the episodes and we record the episodes, and then the albatross hanging around our necks, we've been editing the episodes. And this is just one of those things that, man, it takes away a lot of time. And so this is our very first week where we are not doing that. And I'm loving that too. But can I tell you what else I'm loving?
Absolutely.
This is very important.
Is this going to be a love fest?
No, I have hate it. Don't worry. I have a long list of hate. I love, and I have never said anything more midlife in my whole life. I love cottage cheese. I love it. I love cottage cheese. Here's the thing.
I did not see that coming.
Well, you're welcome. Ladies, if you're looking for something nutritious and fast to eat, because listen, I know we should sit down. We should eat mindfully. We should have a nice combination of different things to eat. Okay, real life. In between therapy sessions, sometimes I have 3 minutes. And I know that I should have breaks, but I don't. So I have sessions back to back to back to back. And sometimes I'm like, I'm fucking hungry. But what am I going to do? And so I keep a container of cottage cheese in my tiny refrigerator. Here's the awkward thing. My refrigerator is in a closet in my waiting room. And so I just have to call that shit out. Like I walked out of my office. It's like 10:57. I have an 11 o'clock session. My client is in the waiting room. So I walk out of my office and I'm like, she starts to get up and I'm like, oh no, sis, you cannot get up. So I'm like, oh, hey, I'll be right back with you. I just have to do the most midlife thing ever. I need to eat some cottage cheese. And I grab my cottage cheese and my blueberries. I walk in, I throw the blueberries in, I eat it right out of the container. This shit is ugly. And it was so tasty. And I didn't feel like I was going to die in the next session. And like literally 2 minutes later, I was like, do, 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 put my cottage cheese away, welcomed in my client. I love you, cottage cheese. Thank you for existing.
Oh my God, I love this. Also, I'm sitting here thinking in my brain as you're talking, I'm thinking of two very different things. One, I'm thinking about this cottage cheese jello ridiculous salad that was my favorite thing at Thanksgiving when I was a kid. So I'm kind of like dreaming of that. It had like canned mandarin oranges.
That's so
like
Midwestern.
Well, it was Colorado though.
Wow, this is everywhere. This is bad.
It's like a thing. And so I'm kind of thinking about that and like kind of thinking about how amazing and that was and not relatively healthy eating. However, I'm also thinking about the fact that you adorably like don't eat in front of your clients.
Oh, I don't. Do you?
Oh, I lunch with mine.
Oh, see, you're smarter than me. That's a really good idea.
You are so much more professional than me. I have like my standard like lunch clients and we lunch together.
That's really smart. That's really smart.
I don't know. People might judge me for that. But you know what? A girl's got to eat and I can't shove it down my throat. And so, yeah, I lunch. I lunch.
All right. Something I might try. Can I tell you something I hate, though? Because, like I said, I have a long list of hate. Okay. I hate the sun. I hate the sun right now.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel.
What?
My house faces east. My room faces east. The sun comes up at like fucking 4 o'clock in the morning right now. I'm not kidding.
My face is east too, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have two layers of what are called blackout curtains. This is a lie. I have paid lots of money for these things. They do not keep the sun out. And every morning, I used to think it was just like growing older or hormones or whatever. It was waking me up early. No, every morning, it's that fucking sun coming through my window around my blackout curtains. It's like, I don't care about you. And it is waking me up. And I hate it. Okay. Like normally I love the sun, but before 5 a.m., no. Although I will say it did allow me to get my workout this morning because my alarm did not go off. And Lord knows I'm not, it's 5:00 whatever, and I'm awake. And it just feels like an abomination. But yeah, I hate the sun. So there you go.
You know what? That's hysterical. I don't even close my curtains because I love the sun in my face in the morning. Oh my God, I know.
No. At 4? Ew. No.
I mean, I don't wake up at 4. It's not there at 4. I sleep right through it. But girl, I love the sun. You hate it? I love it.
In the morning, I hate it. In the day, I love it. It's fine.
All right, my friends. So if you want to hear more about how much Andrea hates the sun and how much I actually love it in the morning, you get, you know what? You get a taste of both worlds here at Honest Women. So don't forget to subscribe, and we will see you this Thursday for another Hot Take Thursday where we answer your questions regarding this week's episode. So join us then. See you on Thursday. We'll